Okay, let's get started. We're on my sefer on Lamed Dalet. I don't know where I am on your sefer. We're at the end of Perek Sheni Sif Vav.
Page 92 in the middle.
Page 92. If you keep a score at home in yours, we're continuing last week. So last week I got a lot of feedback on the shir. A lot of people, just to, if I can sum it up, is that the husband's responsibility is to set the thermostat on the in the house when he walks in. The temperature is dependent on him. He walks in with a smile, it's a warm house. So it's what? It's not on the woman? So again, everything I say to the man, I say to the woman. It's all the same. Right? The woman has the responsibility in the thermostat also. It's dual settings. It doesn't work like a car. You know, today we have our cars, and you have it's probably the greatest shalom bias vehicle ever. It used to be, there was one setting, and every husband and wife would fight. The husband wants the air conditioning, the wife wants the heat. So now you leave on, the husband's at 66, and the wife's at 80, and everybody's happy. But that's not the way a house works. A house has one thermostat, and each party does contribute. The reason why I said the husband sets the thermostat, I'm talking to men right now, but but it applies as much to women.
Oh, so you change the shear from when you're done
with it. Yeah, you would say the same Torah. Whoever you're talking to, you're in charge of the thermostat.
The thermostat. The thing is, the Sefer is saying specifically
to the men.
But
the Sefer was written to men. But I don't think it precludes the fact that for women, that they are in charge of their thermostat. And that when a husband walks home into the house, there's two ways of being greeted. You can be greeted to a mess and a grumpy woman, or you can be greeted to a warm, inviting house that's filled with hot soup and warmkeit and the chuli v'chuli. The thermostat is something that is critical in the house, and you should never ever view it as the other one's responsibility to set the tone. You always have to view it as your own achrayus responsibility to set that thermostat. And I thought it was a good mashal. So somebody texted me this week. He says to me, he says, I'm having trouble with my thermostat. So I wrote, you want to talk, So he hasn't, then it went to double blue check and gone. So I don't know. So we'll see. I'll reach out again at some point. But that thermostat, you have to own it, right? You have to own your own thermostat. You can't worry about the other person's thermostat. So that was last week. But he continues. Mashumatzik es aisha. Tzarech lios. So we're up to, we're finishing up Vav. Mashumatzik es aisha. Tzarech lios nogeya gam labayla. What the woman is involved with, the husband has to really feel. Be nogeya in it. Ulev hefach kefi shemazbir maran lam, like he explained earlier. Keshi isha mishocheches in baila. When the woman speaks to her husband, speaks about the big things, the little things. So you're just thinking to yourself, sometimes you might have this terrible thought, I don't really care about the dryer being broken, right? And let's be real. If you had a top 10 conversation list, the dryer's efficiency wouldn't be in that top 10. Right? She was asking me, a man must listen with just listening with your phone and this, but rather be what's called an active listener, right? Leaning in, validating, all of that stuff. Because if it's important to somebody, to your spouse, it has to be important to you as well. We mentioned earlier, again, I make jokes. Seems repetitive, but like Mesil Sisharim, it's important. It's critical to chazen this thing over and over again.
Can I ask a question?
Of course you could ask a question. You don't have to ask a question.
What if you think that whatever she's talking about has no positive or good...
Doesn't matter. Who are you to judge? What other... Meaning, if somebody is saying it or expressing it, then it's important to them. So who are you to say, that's not really important? The only time that you theoretically would be able to do it, and I would do this with great caution and trepidation, is if there's lashon hara, just tam rechilas, right? But that you have to be careful about, But that's because that's a halacha, what I'm saying? But no, any conversation that is being raised, you have to assume it's being raised because it wants to be shared. So if it wants to be shared, who are you to come say that it's not important?
What about something that is a matter of sneas, a non-sneas conversation versus a sneas conversation?
You mean, again, something that's connected halacha?
I wouldn't know what that line is of halacha, not halacha. But
if it's connected to halacha, that's something worthy of saying. You know, maybe again, but again, but there are cherets, but like you know, maybe I don't know if halacha this is appropriate, but to stam shut something down, gotta be careful, right? Anyway, you're talking to mistakel al inyav ofan acher. Could be that you're looking in a different direction. Ve'ino roes advarim b'mashmaos kol kachamura kifishuros. Maybe you might not think they're so important. Ulay b'nei shabas sholei tergish. By her, there is an emotional element. Lachein hadvarim osim roshim gadol yoser. Therefore, they have a tremendous impression. B'masha bambet b'enei haseichel dan v'shokel osam. Meaning, because of the emotional aspect of it, therefore, they might have a greater appearance to the brain than you would evaluate it. Nevertheless, aval etzem ha'avoda shedvar meila lochatzim ala, these things have a pressure on her. Tzricha lehachbid gam alav, they have to weigh on you as well. And this is the avoda of empathy. Right? You have to have an empathetic ear, not sympathetic, but empathetic. Right? Really. You know, this is not just, again, here. This is the gadol. What is a gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu a gadol? Often, it's pasuk and chumash. I think I've said this pasuk and chumash more than any other pasuk. Vayigdal Moshe, v'yotze lacha, v'yar b'sivlosim. Moshe was a gadol because he saw another Jew's pain. So, this is the Jew that matters to you more than anybody else. So, avada, if they come to you with a certain situation that's feeling pressure, you have to feel the Jew's pain. Right? Vayigdal lacha, v'yar b'sivlosim. Look at it's a great analogy, right? Just like if you stabbed yourself in the left hand, which I don't recommend, you would feel it in your right hand the same way. Therefore, you have to deal with it and give chizuk from a form of partnership, not of like, I'm just trying to console you because I want to get this done so I can get to what I need to do later. That's not sincere. Sincerity means you feel another Jew's pain, you empathize with them, you try to work it out. Machmas shenoshim maheres lispael, like morleil, like because sometimes women get sensitive quickly, like we mentioned before. Shebetivim sholeit hergish biyoser, because their emotions rule more. Lachein yitachnu beinehen alios viridos. They're a lot more ups and downs, highs and lows, b'matzavim hashonim, with the various situations. Therefore, al habal laseh zos be'orech ruach b'savlonis. A man has to work with tremendous patience, tremendous trepidation. Ulogunos b'chol ha'matzavim, to deal with her in all ways, you know. It's not like we're in this when it's going well. If it's not going well, I check out. No, if it's not going well, it's when you check in more. Kavi Shemaran Kosev Lahav, he quotes the Chazon Ish before, Ubedivre Chizuk L'samech Lev. If the Mechazik is self, to be happy with your heart. Now, I don't know if I should read the last paragraph. I don't know if this is really true anymore. I don't know if this is a misconception, but he writes, Kuras Rucha Shal Isha Mushfelis Ma'od Bimei Vest. And of course, at the time of her cycle, there's definitely a different emotional outburst. Rosha ve'evera kvedim aleha. Her head is heavy on her. Uchu is a mashbiel rucho. So if you're feeling under the weather, that is going to affect your matzav ruach. That's going to affect your outlook, right? When you're physically not well, like for example, if you don't sleep well, you're going to be cranky. V'hiz kukul idud v'chizuk. That means, it doesn't mean you avoid. In that scenario, it means you give chizuk. Right? We know that there are harchakas during these time periods. But the husband should know. In those days, a man, even though there's harchakas in the physical way, emotionally has to be there more to support. And to deal with her condition. And not just to like biyotze zayin with words that are permissible, right? But rather, kedei lahakem ole esav lahanavshi, and just to weaken her, you know, where she's feeling. I just want to share with you one matzah, one story. There's a couple of them, you know, and he was very machpin on hachokas, I'll say it like that. He was very, very careful not to engage in close behaviors during that time period. And so much so that she couldn't understand Like, does her husband really love her? Because, like, he seems like he runs from the plague with her from this time period. So, like, she couldn't chap ois, like, what was going on? And so she, you know, whatever, I talked it out. Like, he was just trying to be like, oh, he was trying to be makbin on rachakas. He was trying to be careful about rachakas. But lemaisa, she was thinking, like, he doesn't really love me. Like, he's not really involved at this time. And that's terrible. Right, there are certain words you can't use. That's true, but there are words that you can use, and just because you're not there physically doesn't mean you shouldn't be there emotionally. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I teach Chassanim is we say in the Sheva Brachas, Reyim Ahuvim. Right, there's a time. There are different things. Right, Reyim is friends, and Ahuvim is to be a lover. So, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're in contradiction. It means that there are certain times of the year, month, you work on the Ahuvim aspect, and sometimes you work on the Reyim aspect, on the friendship. And this time period is a great time period to work on the Reyim aspect, and to ignore it could cause Chas V'Shalom a little bit of trouble, right? And then he writes at the end, you know, it's funny, this is the last line of this section of the Chazon Ish. He writes, Ein ledaber b'lashon nechochos, don't speak in plural you, but rather in the individual, right? We, you know, they. It's you, Yitachin Shekhavani. So here, Chaim Friedlander writes, Yitachin Shekhavani Yishen Ladaber Beloshin Rabim Kivishim Damer El Zar. He says, maybe what it's talking about is you shouldn't talk to your wife like you would talk to a stranger. He's not really sure, Chaim Friedlander. So if she's not really sure, who am I to say? I do want to just add, there is something nice about just saying the other, just general conversation when you reach out to people, you talk to them, when you use their name. There's something, you know, personal about that. That it shouldn't just be like, you know, or like, yeah, the person's name at the end, it gives us something caution. I think Rav Weinberger said in one of his shirim that there's, you're saying a shtickl ruch hakodesh. I remember he said this, that if a kid is sleeping, you always say their name when you wake them up, because that's ma'orah, their neshama inside them. I remember him saying that. I'm like, so whenever I wake up my kids, I always say their full Hebrew name. And in class, when a kid falls asleep, I try to remember their Hebrew name and dig it out. But, like, you know, that's you know, waking them up. Okay, last chelik of this particular section, and then we'll move on from the letter of the Chazon Ish. Okay, so the Chazon Ish continues. This is so important. Now, today, it's not as important. It used to be because you can get tracked with LoJack. But in the olden days before cell phones, right? There's an incumbent upon the man when you're leaving. Don't just leave. Don't just check out. You know, tell people where you're going. And when you come back, tell them where you were. Discuss what you did. Here he says a tremendous yisoid. How to build this connection. You have to make your wife a partner in all of your endeavors. What you do in your own time is what she is involved in. But if you don't tell her, then she's not a partner. If you don't just talk about the mundane, you're living parallel lives. You're not living a unified life. The big stuff and the small stuff. When a husband goes to do his work, don't think, what shaykh is that to my wife? I'm going out to put debits and credits in a spreadsheet. What does she care? She cares because you're doing it. Everything's partnership. In order for the partnership to be established, you have to tell your wife where you're going. Where am I going and what have I done? I'm going to learn. I have a chavrusa, I'm going here to the shir, I'm going to work, I'm going to play ball. It might seem stupid, but again, if you involve somebody in every aspect of your life, it's gevaldik. Says the Chazon Ish, Mosi Vod Yesod. He says, even the small stuff, lemor, shiyachas enish bechlal, v'yachas ben ish l'ishto bifrat, when it comes to the yachas of people in general and specifically, nevanim midvarim ketanim, it's built on the small stuff. And this is important. People think like, oh, it's the grand. Not just the gifts, the flowers, all that stuff you give from time to time. There's damnut shanos, like on the anniversaries or whatever special days you have. You know, you do once in a while to say, I'm thinking about you. Ella, here it is. It's the small things. What creates the partnership? It's the hadvarim haktanim. It's the small things. Mahin amilim b'hem. What words do you use? U'mishtamish b'tzeiso b'beiso u'v'achniso chazara. The small things unify a couple. Not the big, grand flowers and, you know, you buy them a beautiful gift. It doesn't work like that. For a relationship to be successful, it needs constant connection. And the way you create the constant connection is by constantly sharing. Come home with a story that happened at work. Today, the equivalent of that would be a text in the middle of the day. I'm thinking about you. Right? It's a nice thing. See, that is not the way to create a relationship. The app sends it for you. And like, yeah. And you know what? It probably goes to her phone that she has pre-programmed to respond back. And right? So then these two phones are having a relationship. No. It means that you know, and I don't, again, he hasn't said it here, but L'chaira, in order to create the Shutzvitz, it's not even so meaningful for the other party, but it's meaningful for you when you send it. Like, I'm pausing, I'm taking a break in my day, and you know? Or like when you come home and it says, I thought of you today when blah, 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 blah. Right? These are the things that make connections. He goes, Ezus of Panim Umari Aleha. He has to show her a way of a smile, Bavo, Umbezesa, when he comes in, when he goes out. Ham dibur aleha be'eshu pone aleha po v'sham b'meshach hayom k'hogon v'afilum kein be'ezet surah nemru osen dvar. Right? So it's critical. Did he greet her properly when he came, when he left? Did he speak to her in a proper way? Etc., etc. And this is what's going to be. And the fashion in which you give those words. I thought I said, yeah. U'bediv rechizek l'samech leif. Gam heim tzrichim yos t'midim. This line to me struck me very important. Right? Sometimes we think, all right, so I'll take a vacation with my wife 3 times a year and call it a day. Right? During the year, who has time? You're so busy, you're running this, that, your chavrus is awaiting, you're trying to make a couple of dollars to be able to feed your kids and maybe go away on those 3 vacations. He says like this, he says, Ki dibor matzo l'sirugin. If it's a dibor that's found like in spurts, ubitsara, you know, like intermittently and short polio, so they work better. More than these long conversations. Lubavitch Rebbe, I believe, spent a half an hour a day with his Rebbe. They would drink like tea together. I think that's the story they tell. Right? That's those elements, those short bursts of conversation on a constant, consistent basis are what forges a relationship. And it shouldn't be, you know, just Shabbos. Again, some weeks it's not going to happen. But you have to set up a seder. You may have a seder with a chavrus. You have to have a seder with your wife. Again, you know, make sure, half an hour, dinner. You know, you shouldn't be rushing out of dinner. There should be something, you know, you should make sure you get home to. That conversation, those intermittent conversations that are happening in a hergel, in a usual way, oh, what keeps the marriage fresh. And, you know, again, I've said this on this recording 100 times, but I give chas and shmuzes. I've never said this, but I started saying this in my chas and shmuzes now. I said, put the phone away during these conversations. I know it's obvious, and it's got to be just hammered home. The phone shouldn't be there. I get calls from people, from guys. I generally get the calls, the guys complaining about their wives, but sometimes I got this one from one wife, that the guys, they can't have conversation with the wives. They're sitting there with the phone. Today I was at the bank. I was laughing. First of all, I went to the bank. Most of the time I do banking on the phone. So I was laughing at myself that I was at the bank. And I haven't been at the bank in a while. And there was a mother, and she was talking to her kid about planning for camp. And the mother starts giving instructions. And I'm sure the girl's listening. Apparently some Amazon box had arrived, which she saw on her phone. And she starts giving instructions to her kid about what to do with the box. And she's looking at her daughter and says, could you put the phone away for a second? Like, ah! You know, like, you can't have a conversation with somebody. You can't. That relationship, which is built on those short conversations and those, you have to have them. And it's got to be you and her having the conversation. Or you, you know, or her and you. Or you and your kid. And phones can't be out. Again, I know it's a dover pashut, but it's got to just, I guess it's been my, I'm on my high horse lately. Right, big decision in yeshiva now. The big band. Everyone's hearing about it. No, it's got to happen. We have no choice. Parents are like, what about moderation? This, that. First of all, the parents are supportive. But right now, there can't be moderation. We've gone from one extreme, we have to go to the other extreme, and then maybe we'll get some moderation. Yeah, like the Rambam. Well, this is the Hegelian dialectic. The Rambam says, find the shulazot. Hegel says you go from point to counterpoint to synthesis.
Right.
So, you know, so. Anyway, okay, that's the secular knowledge I know. Anyway, Vitzarech Levak, and that comes later. The last part of the Chazanish's letter is a cynic one none, goes without saying, and he ends off his Shalom Bayis letter with the following Yisoid, which is the truest Yisoid there could be. Vitzarech Levakish Rachim, Kemosha Amru, Bechol Derachecha Deyeu, Vuyasha Orchosecha. You have to daven for it. You have to daven for Shalom. The mistake people make is they think, I'm doing everything I can. She's got to change. Right? Or like she's saying, listen, I'm being a nice man. He's got to just like step up. No, he says, in all of our activity, we have to recognize everything's from Hashem. We have to turn to Hashem. You have no choice. You have to turn to Hashem. We have to turn to Hashem. You have no choice. Mikol Shekain, Binyan Yisodis Abayis, when it comes to building the very foundation of our home, Kashu Tali B'Dasachem, which is not dependent upon you. Right? There's another party. Listen, you can bring your thermostat, that do everything you're supposed to do. You can be perfect. In the end of the day, you might be the perfect husband and still not have Shalom Bayis because it's not up to you. Tali B'Dasachem, B'Das Ishto. Sarech Lefanas Allah, Hashem Yisbarach, B'Bakash Yisrach. You have to turn to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and daven for it. Right? I don't daven enough for it. I daven for chinuch for my kids every single day. I shouldn't start talking to myself. She yichonin also b'deya nechona b'chol matzav shu. Right? That he should look at her in a proper way each and every time. V'yaslichu b'shtadluso. That you should be successful in your hishtadlus. It's not easy being successful. But if we daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu, if we include a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our tefillahs, then hopefully a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help us out. But in all endeavors, you know, it's so pashut. But it's funny that in the interpersonal, we don't think that we could daven for it. But of course we could daven for it, right? Especially if, you know, Rabbi Nachman's correct, where he says that the woman is the mirror of the husband and really just mirrors what the husband is and is the voice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu on some level. You know, and when she tells you stuff, she's really telling you what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you. So therefore, of course, it pays to daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Levakish Rachman. It's the most important thing. Anything that's worthwhile in this life is worth davening for, and the most important thing in our lives is our shul, because that's our conduit to Kadosh Baruch. Okay, Hadron Olach, the letter of the Chazon Ish. Next week we start with the very short letter of the Stipler, the commentary once again of Reb Chaim Friedlander in this beautiful way. Okay, Zayge Zutnishtark.